I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a goal-laden weekend across Scottish football. Rangers come back from 2 goals behind twice to beat Dundee in a thriller at Dens on Saturday evening. It was the Daizen Maeda show once again for Celtic as they win to move within 3 victories of the Scottish Premiership title. Kilmarnock were one of the big losers across the weekend. The top 5 all winning, the bottom 5 all losing, so not much movement there in a busy day in the Championship as well. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
Well, wasn't it good to have domestic football back, Gordon? What a game that was at Dens on Saturday night. 4-3 to Rangers. Before that, big win for Celtic, big win for Hibs, big win for Aberdeen, huge win for St Mirren as well. Great big win in the Cup for Livingston yesterday. And that's before we even look at a colourful start for Neil Lennon and Victor Wanyama to their Dunfermline careers. I don't think 2 hours is going to be long enough tonight. But as I said to my close pal, Pop Guy, on the phone earlier on, let's just go in two-footed and take no prisoners.
Oh, he's limped in. He's milked in here in that office. You should have seen him. Did he get crutches? How you feeling? Recovering?
Still in disbelief that a tackle 20 years ago that was a red card, wasn't it? A red card on Saturday. So just barely recovered, but recovered enough to come on and see you guys at 6 o'clock on a Monday.
Good, it would take more than that to keep him away. 0141 951 1025. Come on, give us a call. This is what we've been waiting for, really. That last week, international break, and the week before that, of course, we were just coming off the back of the last domestic card. So let's get stuck into all the talking points. Saturday night, Dens Park, was a thriller for us. It was an absolute roller coaster. It was brilliant entertainment. What did you make of it, Rangers fans? Again, Barry Ferguson's praising the character, but this time he says the performance was miles off it. He says there were some bad habits creeping in. So which one of those do you lean into? Are you happy with the character? Are you concerned about the performance? I know you'll probably see a combination of the two, but what are you thinking then? What are you seeing? What are you thinking needs to improve going forward? Or do you think this can just keep going, just keep riding this character wave where you overcome adversity? Let us know all the big talking points. Cyril Dessers, for the 394th time this season, we will discuss him, I am sure. How do you feel about him these days, getting the winning goal after a series of missed chances? There was so much to get through from that game. So what do you think? Give us your thoughts, Rangers fans. Are you just happy with the result, happy with the character, because that's the way it is and it's all about winning? Or are there things in the performances you're not too impressed about? Give us a call right now. Celtic fans, with every passing game, how much more important is it to get Daizen Maeda on that contract? He's up to 30 now for the season. What did you make of him? Sinisalo with his first league start and goal, and the revelation from Brendan Rodgers that probably what people suspected, Greg Taylor looks to be heading for the exit. So your thoughts on any of that stuff? Monday night can be a bit like a crisis hotline for those of you who've not had a good weekend. And I am looking at you, Kilmarnock fans. Where did that go wrong? How bad was it? How worried are you for the remainder of the season? Who does it reflect on? The players? The manager? What's going on there? Give us a call, please, Kilmarnock fans. We'd love to hear from you. Well done to St Mirren, of course. And loads to get through. Any Victor Wanyama enthusiasts out there? We'd love to hear from you. So 0141 951 1025. These two will set the tone. Your result of the weekend, please.
I'm going to go for Rangers. I think if you're 3-1 down anywhere and you can manage to come back in the last 18 or 19 minutes to win a game 4-3 in the style in which they did, then it probably merits it. It was a game of the weekend, so they should probably get the result of the weekend.
I'm going to go for St Mirren. Fairly obvious one, given it was a so-called 6-point, you could potentially call it, given that St Mirren have only managed to beat a Derek McInnes side once in the last 33 games, my favourite stat in Scottish football, and to do it in the fashion they did, 5-1, and gives them that chance of finishing that last spot in the top 6.
St Mirren fans, Kelly fans, both of you, let's hear about it. It was quite something. What was your goal of the weekend? Because I thought you had some good options.
Well, for the result, I was going to shame the two of you and say Aberdeen, and I didn't. I let you off the hook, but I can't let you off the hook any longer. Leighton Clarkson.
Yeah, it was nice.
I thought a couple of Aberdeen go. I like those ones that hit the bar and go down, but we can't have Kevin Nisbet, but it was deflected onto the bar and went down, so we'll give it to Leighton Clarkson. Good goal.
Yep, spoil for choice. I'm just going to edge towards James Tavernier. I thought it was a big goal in the context of the game, got Rangers back in it, and I thought it was that wee hybrid, a team move and a fantastic finish to boot as well. So I think a big part of the comeback Rangers had was the captain's role within it, and a fantastic goal as well.
Howler of the weekend, Roger Hannah.
Well, I was there, Somerset Park on Saturday. Victor Wanyama, he came on, he ran about a wee bit, he fell over, he handled the ball, and he was sent off. Less than 20 minutes on the field, and it's going to be a setback for Neil Lennon, because he was only signed for 7 games, and if you're sent off in the first and suspended for the second, it limits your impact.
An incredible story, just kept getting madder over the weekend. Andy, your howler of the weekend?
Oh, really, really easy for me. I'm not going to go directly for the referee, but I'm going to go for the VAR team in their decision not to send off Papi Gay.
For a challenge on you?
Absolutely. I don't know if I can elaborate much further. I thought it was a red card that was missed by the VAR team.
Do you agree, Roger? Come on, you can disagree. That's what we're here for.
I'd love to disagree with him, but I can't. It's an absolute stonewall, nailed on red card. And when you have your VAR review with William, I am sure he will say it's an absolute nailed on stonewall red card.
Okay, well, any Aberdeen fans want to disagree with these two, you can do. Where does that leave us? Your top man, top performer, who does it go to? Man of the weekend?
Man of the weekend, Caelan Boyd-Munce. He's had quite a month in March. He got a goal, he was concussed, he headed back home to Northern Ireland for his son Roo's christening, and he came back and he smashed 2 goals past Robbie McCrory and St Mirren. When you look at the fixtures, St Mirren with a shout for the top 6 for the 3rd consecutive season.
I'm going to go for that man, that 30-goal man, Dyson Maeda. I thought his role within the game again at the weekend was pivotal for Celtic to get the 3 points. Another 2 goals, that takes him as the outright top goal scorer in the Scottish Premier League. And not only the 30 goals, you look at his assists that he's contributed towards the season as well. It was another fantastic performance for him.
01419511025, what stood out for you? Give us a call. Graham is the first through. Take it away, Graham.
All right, lads, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, watching the game on Saturday night, mate, so frustrated. That's been us all season. We've got a keeper who, for the cup final last year, has made howler after howler. We've got a striker, 12 shots apparently had, scores one, runs about as if he's killing Mbappe when he scores it. And then they put in a, like you say, Tav gets you out of deal again. It's so frustrating watching them, mate. But the keeper's got to come out of that team. Celtic first goal, give that away with a kick. Man United, Motherwell, Ibrox. Last night, Motherwell, third party got away with it, punched it in. You need to get him out of there, mate. And the striker would badly need a striker that can finish.
Talk to me about Desser's celebration,
that,
though.
Apart
from that, Desser shouldn't celebrate because he missed chances before. Got to give him his moment, surely.
No, he should celebrate. But he should have been celebrating scoring 4 or 5 in the one game, mate. So many chances he missed. Any other striker scores a hat-trick, three or four goals that game on Saturday. And he scores one in.
How do we solve this, though?
Because how do we solve a problem in Cyril?
Because the numbers are good in total. And by the start of the weekend, about how many games it's taken him to get to that goal mark.
Gordon, you don't solve it. I remember being in here the Monday after Cyril Desser's debut at Kilmarnock when the Rangers lost 1-0. Brad Lyon scored the goal. And I wasn't especially impressed with Cyril Desser's. And there are moments during his Rangers career when I've thought I've got it wrong. And there are moments during his Rangers career when I thought, no, I was absolutely right after 90 minutes. If Cyril Desser's, Graham, took those chances, he wouldn't be playing for Rangers. He'd be playing with Kylian Mbappe at Real Madrid. He seems to get himself into the positions and misses them. You look at the goal he scored at Old Trafford, look at the goal he scored at Tannadice. Some of the half chances that he manages to score are 10 times harder than the ones he misses. So he's an enigma, he's a conundrum. You wouldn't know whether he was going to score or miss when he's presented with a simple chance in front of goal. But as Gordon says, 45 goals in his first 100 games. I think only 3 Rangers strikers this millennium, Alfredo Morelos, Shota Arveladze and Christopher from Ayrshire, have got a better rate in their first 100 games. So he's doing something right, but he's probably just not doing enough right to satisfy yourself and all of the Rangers support.
What is this then, Andy? Is it, I mean, if he was in a better Rangers team, does that maybe change things, because then the burden's not on him the same, or they actually are winning things so you're not as concerned about the missed chances? Because the goal scoring numbers are good, and as Roger says, strikers don't score all their chances. I don't know, how many more should they score?
Yeah, I don't think being a better Rangers team would affect Cyril Dessers at all, except from the fact that they'd maybe create more chances for him to miss or score. Because it is the enigma, Cyril Dessers, that we spoke about all season. It just looked as if it was going to be a 1v1 duel between Dessers and Trevor Carson for a full game. And Trevor Carson, needless to say, was coming out on top for a lot of it. But that was, I mean, we talk about him being an enigma. We can praise him 1 week and criticise him next week. That was another level at the weekend. I mean, 12 shots for one player on goal.
So you're more towards the critical side
for
of things.
For the weekend, 100%. Listen, and I praise him to the hilt for how much he can stick with it and still get in the right areas and eventually come up with the goods. But with the chances that he had, specifically in the first half, he had 3 1-on-1s alone in the first half. So I don't think it should have took to the 92nd minute for Rangers to need to score a winner.
You know better than me. Would Igaman or Danilo have got themselves into the position for all of those chances? And would Igaman or Danilo have scored more on Saturday than Dessers did?
For me, no. I think there's an argument that if Igaman has the chances that he had, he could potentially score more, but I've not seen enough to say that Igaman would get himself in the position that Dessers gets in to have the 12 shots on goal, to have the 9 shots on target.
The Danilo one's then really interesting, because he's not getting the stick Dessers is getting, because he's not good enough to get on the pitch.
I got absolutely hammered on this show 3 months ago for saying Dessers was miles ahead of Danilo. I don't think many people are disagreeing there.
So, I mean, Dessers gets, he's clearly miles ahead of Danilo, who cost a lot of money as well. But you're up there to be shot at, ultimately.
You see the best and the worst of Dessers on Saturday. But I bet when Barry Ferguson picks a team to play Hibs this Saturday, Dessers is, you know, wearing the number 9 starting the game.
But I tell you what as well, must be said, Dundee missed some amount of chances as well.
Hit the post just before the goal, didn't
they? Listen, I know I'm certainly not a neutral, I know you two will be, but to watch it, I mean, great. What a game it was.
The Rangers now are the great entertainers. 4-2 at Killie, 3-2 at Celtic Park, 4-3 at Dens. They're a great watch.
What do you think about that wider point, Graham? Because Barry Ferguson keeps talking about the character and the fans keep talking about it as well. I suppose on the other hand, you don't really need to show character if you don't keep going 2 goals behind or don't keep conceding 2 goals in every game. So are you pleased with what you're seeing, or how would you sum it up overall?
Disappointing what I'm watching, Gordon. You're talking about, like you said, the third goal, the international defender diving in, big shooter. That sort. Everyone just seems to do everything the hard way. Celtic 2-0 up and they get it back and they've got you 1 with a late goal. And it's all your mistakes it's causing it. It's so frustrating to watch. They're good to watch, they're good to go, because there's a bit of jeopardy in the game, you're getting a good game. But if you're a Rangers fan, just pull your hair out, mate. They're good 1 minute, then the next half hour they're not so good, then the next 20 minutes they're good. You're getting everything in the one game. And Barry Ferguson must be pulling his hair out.
Yeah, because again, Roger, that is the difference. That's why I'm asking, Graham, as a Rangers fan. I don't want really to watch games where Rangers win 2-0 and just control the game and then it's boring. I'd rather watch, but that's not the point. It doesn't matter. What I want to see is entertainment. Again, this character is only coming, seems to be coming, because they're putting themselves in quite a lot of adversity to overcome.
Dessers said it in the post-match interview on Saturday night, Gordon, that's exactly the same. The interesting phrase you used there, you don't want to see Rangers win 2-0 and control the game. I couldn't tell you the last time Rangers controlled a game at home or away. Under Barry Ferguson or under Philip Clement, they don't seem to have the players capable of doing that. You know, in the past, you might have seen a team come to Ibrox and the Rangers are 2 up, but they control the ball, they control the tempo of the game, they limit the chances of the opposition. I can't remember the last time that happened. They don't seem to have the players capable of closing out a game when they're ahead, or giving themselves that foothold in the start where they can build momentum and score a goal. As you say, you know, when they charge back into a game as they did at Dens on Saturday night, you can almost hear the bugles wailing in the stand and everyone charging forward. There is no control to any aspect of their play.
Where do you sit on it, Andy, in terms of pleased with the character, concerned about bits of the performance? I mean, you're allowed, you know, obviously allowed a mix of the two, but what jumped out more from Saturday?
Well, they deserve immense credit for, I mean, 7 games, Barry Ferguson's been charging 5 of them, they've been 2 goals. two goals down. Again, you can praise them for the character, but I think that's going to catch up with you at some point. And it's interesting because, you know, it feels as if they've got, you know, defensive frailties, so he changed to the back three against Fenerbahce. He keeps with it at Celtic Park. I'm amazed that you then go and keep with it when you're going away to Dens Park. But then what I will say is, I think the biggest credit I can give Barry Ferguson so far is his ability to change it within the game. Because I think you could probably see, and he would probably admit it now, that the, you know, sticking with the back three probably didn't work. Again, rectifies it, change it at half time. The two subs that come on at half time then make an impact in the game.
You keep doing that?
I don't think you can, though. I think it will get caught up. I think it will catch up when you. And to be honest, it probably should at the weekend, because like we said, Dundee had the chances in the second half to kill the game off even further. But it's, listen, every game from now to the end of the season is going to be an addition for Barry Ferguson, and you're going to ask the question after every Saturday is, does that enhance his chances of getting the job, or does it hamper it? And I don't think that enhanced it at the weekend.
By the way, look at the fixture schedule that's left. Hibs,
Aberdeen,
third in the country. Aberdeen, fourth in the country. Then the best five teams in the country, other than the Rangers, plus home and away against Bilbao. There is not a gimme. There's not a simple game in there at all.
Thank you, Graham. What about Craig then? What's your take on the weekend's events, Craig?
I think, as we've already spoken about, Cyril Dessler shows his character. Although he should score a lot more chances that he takes, that he gets, he's always there to get the chances, is one of my points. And he never lets his head drop. His attitude is 100%. Maybe he's just finishing isn't. But if it was, he wouldn't be at Rangers. Sorry.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, what does the alternative look like? If Cyril Dessler isn't in that Rangers team, is there an assumption that whoever replaces him gets all of those chances that he gets?
Yeah, well they would,
and then scores them all. Because we said his total's pretty good, so I'm wondering, you don't think his total's good?
No, sorry. I don't think a striker that Rangers have got would get in the positions that Dessler gets if he's not playing.
Even a new striker, do you know what I mean? That this notion that, yeah, he's fine, but, you know, Rangers need better. Maybe they do. I'm not saying they don't, but if they took all his chances, he'd get over 40 goals a season. That's not going to happen, yeah, is it? You just don't see those numbers. No. So,
and again, I'm going to use a phrase we often use in this show about James Tavernier. If you were going to write a list of all the problems in the Rangers team, Cyril Dessler's goal ratio would be well down the list. Discussing how many goals they're losing, a centre half is more important to me than Cyril Dessers. Potentially a left back is more important to me than Cyril Dessers. A midfielder who can give you a little part of the control that you were speaking about a minute ago. Midfielder who can put his foot in the ball and dictate the sort of tempo of the game. The way Callum McGregor does at Celtic, that's more important than Cyril Dessers. Someone that gives you width on the left hand side is more important to me than Cyril Dessers. So yes, he misses chances, yes, he splits the audience, but he's head and shoulders better than any other Rangers centre forward at the minute.
So as an example, Craig, then, to sum it up, would you be happy with Cyril Dessers leading the line for Rangers next season?
Maybe not leading the line, but he's definitely somebody I'd keep about unless a massive offer came in. But I don't think we're going to get a massive offer. I mean, he's 29, pushing 30. I think he's one of the guys who'd be really good in the squad, but maybe not as the focal one first choice striker.
But then I take the point about the age, but then you might get money for Cyril Dessers because of the number of goals he scored this season.
What is it? Short Avaladze, Chris Boyd and Morelos are only two, the three that have reached that goal tally by 100 appearances, am I right?
Yep, that's right. That's the stat, isn't it, Ross?
First 100 games.
They played in far better Rangers teams than he's playing in. This is what I think.
Well, listen, it's great for us because the Cyril Dessers debate shows no signs of slowing down, but thank you to Craig.
It's a new Tavernier debate.
Sort of, I see where you're coming from. Keep the calls coming, we'll get you on next. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. Give us a call right now, please. Barry Ferguson says he saw too many old habits from his team against Dundee. He's happy with the attitude, though. Thinks they have a lot of work to do.
I think you can see in my face. Yep, it's frustration. I've seen so many old bad habits come in. I have to go and make a couple of changes at half time. I have to change the shape of the team from a three to a four to try and kickstart us, basically. Second half, more like it. But given too many opportunities, giving easy goals away, being sloppy at times, but look, I said to them after it, there's a lot of work needs to happen again this week. We need to really sit down, go through things. We need to work hard on the training ground because there was a lot of things that I didn't like. But one thing about my players is they never give in. This has been labelled at them for a long time now, and you've seen, I think if that's 5-6 weeks ago, Rangers come away with nothing. But the Rangers team that I've got just now, my players, that's the side that I've drilled into them. But we need to do a lot better with other things within the game.
Craig is on the line. What jumped out for you, Craig?
From Barry's comments here.
Oh, just whatever from the game. Anything you wanted to discuss?
A couple of points for the game. Obviously, it does nothing for my nerves. Rangers going 2-0 down in every game, and having to come through behind 2-0 down every week, apart from against Celtic, which is quite bizarre when you think about it. But my main point is about Jack Butland and Dessers in a kind of weird way as well. My point about Butland is, for me, it goes back to that kind of 3-3 game against Celtic, you know, last year when Southgate was up to watch him, and he's not been the same keeper for me, apart from, you know, the odd good game in Europe, a bit like this team, they can turn it on in Europe, but it just, and what I'm a wee bit concerned about, it seems to be a tactic from teams now, just fire the ball straight at Butland's chest and he's going to spill it, because that's been happening far too often for me, and that's bread and butter for a goalkeeper. And I have been thinking for quite a while, it's probably the kind of fanfare he came into, and obviously the good saves he had in Europe when, you know, we're trying to qualify for the European knockout stages when he first came in. And I think he saved a penalty in his first game, did he? I'm getting mixed up. But he basically came in and he hit the ground running, and, you know, it was all that kind of super Jack Butland stuff. And I think we've got a wee bit caught up in that, and there's a reason the guy was third choice at Crystal Palace and, you know, whatever. But he's still a decent goalkeeper, and I think there'll be teams down south that will still take him, you know, for the homegrown kind of quota as such. And I don't think he'd be that difficult to get off the wage bill. That's my kind of main point. And I think going forward, we need somebody that's just the way Rangers are trying to play. We need somebody, because if he's not palming the ball out to people to tap in from the middle of the box, he's just kicking it straight at the opposition striker to have a free run at him. So there's an awful lot that's wrong with his game. And as I say, I think for $25,000 a week, which he's reportedly on, you know, you can take from that what you want, but Rangers need better for that kind of money. And I think if his name wasn't Jack Butland, he would be getting a lot more criticism, in my opinion.
Well, this stuff's not been coming and going all season, Roger. There was the high point would be the penalty shootout, obviously, where he plays a key role. How bad a mistake was that at the weekend? What, are you starting to see what Craig means?
Well, listen, if it was an isolated mistake, you could write it off. There have been two or three of them, possibly more this season. He's not played nearly as well as he did when he first came to the football club. There's no question about that, Gordon. But, you know, to talk about leaving him out or selling him, probably not for me. I think, you know, he is still a good goalkeeper. Showed it in the shootout, showed it with that save from Hatate in the Old Firm game. He can still do it when he's on his game. At the minute, he's going through a difficult spell. I think most goalkeepers make it through a difficult spell behind that defence at the minute. It's not just Butland's fault, the way they're shedding goals at the moment. There is a bit of a crisis of confidence back there. Was it 5 times you said, Andy, they'd lost 2 goals under Barry? So it all feeds off each other. But certainly for me, I would keep Butland and give him another chance next season.
I do agree. I do think it's getting to the stage of worry, though, because I think this sort of, I mean, purple patch of poor form has been going on for quite a long period of time, but I do kind of look at not having that sort of steady, settled back four in front of him, or back five, will it be if Barry Ferguson continues with that. And I just think Rangers as a unit and a team are giving up far too many chances. That being said, there's been a lot of individual errors from Jack Butland within that. Now, where I do agree with Craig is his last point. I think if Liam Kelly's the Rangers goalkeeper and he's made the mistakes that Jack Butland's made over the last few months, I think you're hearing a lot about it in terms of he must be replaced. But I do think at the moment, I look at that sort of centre-half position, if John Souter can get a settled partner, Yefty defensively, if that left-back area can get sorted, I think Jack Butland's form could upturn off of that alone.
I suppose though the one that Craig is alluding to more than any, that was a real mistake, wasn't it? That
it
like,
was a
one of the ones that you just can't really can't really see coming.
And do you know what? When you see the replay, it does take a great bounce, but I still think you can deal with it a lot better because there's not a lot of pace on it. I think it the ball certainly deviates with the bounce, but I still think he can do a lot better. And the one thing he can't do is let it rebound back into the 6 yard box after it takes it.
Worse than the one against your boys?
No way. Yeah. That one was P-rolled into him.
Yeah.
I'm only saying that because I've slagged Dan Casey about 3 weeks at that attempt to a shot after.
Craig, on the wider point, and again, where are you? Like, this is a win. Like, we're acting like it wasn't. There's a lot of sort of doom and gloom, but it was another win. It was entertaining. Are you able to find the positives there, or are you just, like we kicked off the show talking about, you're looking for a bit more control, I guess, and you know, a bit more of a controlled performance?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, but I thought Barry's comments after the game were spot on. You know, probably the first time in a long time when Rangers went 3-1 down, you know, I was watching the game in the house and I was normally I'd switch, you know, turn the telly off if that was the previous manager or, you know, even recent years, I'd say, you know, that's the game's gone. But even, you know, you're thinking 15 minutes to go, Rangers are 3-1 down and they go on to win the game. That should be lauded, but where Rangers are just now, I'm not saying it's not getting lauded for, you know, because Barry's done it 3 times now. You know, he's picked wins up from the jaws of defeat. Kilmarnock, Celtic, well, not Celtic, but the game is going, you know, Celtic were going to go on and win it, and they got the winner, and obviously last night, or Saturday night, sorry. But, yeah, I think Barry was spot on, you know, I think, to be honest, what he said was he's going to get to the bottom of what's going on, and the way the guy speaks, you think, yeah, he is, you know, and the players are going to listen. But the one thing you can say about this group of players is they're very good at talking, you know, so they could say to Barry Ferguson, oh, yeah, we understand, and, you know, potentially be 2-0 down to Hibs on Saturday. But I've just got a very quick point about Dessers, if that's okay. He reminds me of Tory Andrew Flo, and I'll tell you very quickly why. Because Michael Beale spent most of his transfer budget, from what I believe, on Dessers. And I think that's why the Rangers fans expect a lot more. You know, and his numbers, ironically, are much better than Tory Andrew Flo's. but, you know, Flo always had that £12 million price in his head. And I think to a certain extent, Dessers has got that, is it £3.5 million, £4 million, whatever it is, on his head. And think a Rangers number 9 for that money should be doing a lot more on the pitch. But as Roger said, if Dessers took the chances, he'd be playing with Mbappe, you know. So it is what it is. But I think the two of them combined, we do need better going forward. And I think Rangers need a more kind of mobile striker up front that's going to run the channels. A bit like a finished Eggman, if that makes sense. Someone that's Eggman but the finished product, which whether we can afford that or not, I don't know. But you can't argue with Dessers' numbers.
What do you think, Andy? Is it in relation to price tag?
I disagree with that. I disagree with that heavily, to be honest with you. Danilo, if you remember, Craig was signed in the same transfer window Cyril Dessers was. Danilo actually cost more than Cyril Dessers, and I don't think Danilo's had anywhere near the criticism that Dessers has had.
And Sam Lammers.
And I think quite often, I've said this before, when it comes to the Old Firm, that sometimes you're a better player when you're injured. And I think that's been the case with Danilo. I think quite often you hear that, oh, do you know what, when we get Danilo back, it's going to help. And then it was the same with Kamal Roof. When Kamal Roof was at the club, and we get Kamal Roof back, it's going to help. I think because Dessers is that one that's in the limelight, in the firing line, I think that's the reason he's getting criticised for the chances he's missed. I don't think it's anything to do with the price tag.
Oh, but really interesting to see the formation that Barry puts out at home to Hibs on Saturday. Can he go with the three again? If he doesn't go with the three, where's the width coming from further up the park if Cherney's not available? He hooked Conor Barney, sent on Bailey Rice. I'm not sure he took the chance that people would have hoped he would have taken at the weekend.
Can see on that, does that just feed into everything we've been talking about in the last few weeks though, where of course you're allowed to enjoy Celtic, you're allowed to enjoy Fenerbahce, and you should, but the question of, like, you know, is Barry Ferguson the man or the bigger picture? You just need a bigger sample. You just do. Because back to that point, if 4 games pass by and you change your formation during every game to tweak something and go and win the game, well done. That's so clever. You're not tweaking your formation 38 games in a season. No team does that. No. Teams don't change their formation every single game.
But you wonder, and we've no idea whether Barry will get the job or not, but you wonder, you know, how many of that team would Barry keep? know, maybe he's tweaking it and doing it because he knows those guys aren't good enough going forward, and he's just having to sort of, you know, try and put round pegs into square holes.
Well, this is what Barry Ferguson had to say on that man that everyone's discussing, Cyril Dessers.
Listen, he's been a joy to work with since I've come in here. Brilliant worker, brilliant listener, wants to improve even at his age. He puts himself in brilliant positions. He can get frustrated, start feeling sorry for himself, but listen, that's one thing about him. He keeps going, and he got his rewards with, obviously, the winner. Look, even before I took the job, that's one thing I always says about the big man. He was a guy that would continue to keep going. If he got a bit of criticism, whether it was for the stands or in the media, the big man just rolls his sleeves up and gets on with it. And as I said, I didn't think it would affect him. It never affected him. He kept going. And as I said, if you've got that type of character, you get your rewards in the end, and that's what you got.
Right, keep them coming then. What about Celtic Park? What about Daizen Maeda? What about Greg Taylor leaving, according to Brendan Rodgers? Loads to get through there. So give us a call right now whilst I tell you about this.
Oh my God.
Cash Dash.
Brilliant stuff, man.
It just keeps going up and up and up. £510,000. Text YES to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. The lines close at 5pm on Friday and someone will win the lot. £510,000. Text YES to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannes here, so is his usual Monday partner Andy Halliday. Going over the weekend's talking points. So if you think we've missed one, put us in our place. Tell us what needs to be discussed on 0141 951 1025. Five. Very little movement in the league. It's as you were at the top, it's as you were at the bottom. The top five all won, the bottom five all lost. The big winners really were St Mirren, who've now gone really close to that top six berth come the end of the pre-split fixtures. Celtic still 13 points clear then, 3 wins away from the title. What jumped out for you at the weekend, Frankie?
Hi there.
Hello.
Are you okay?
Good, thanks. You?
No, not too bad, not nice. Too bad. Yeah, watching the Celtic game, really impressed with the goalkeeper. Thought he handled everything that was thrown at him quite well. I like the way he's. The only thing I would say is that some of the defenders were giving the guys some poor passes to play to start with. But they got used to it as the game went on. But the major point for me, apart from Daz, Daz, you just expect that from my head. You just seen this total difference when. Callum McGregor comes on. I mean, he wants the ball everywhere, but the difference maker was that pass. He plays into Maeda. What a finish! Typical dog.
Tell Henrik to calm down in the background, Frankie. He's getting a bit excited.
It's actually Molly, but
listen, don't ruin a substandard joke. Callum McGregor back, Andy. Is Frankie onto something about the impact?
Yeah, and it was a fantastic goal, the first goal, but it's that one that we spoke about so often with Celtic and Callum McGregor, that you just know that Shanklin's been given a man-marking role with Callum McGregor. You can see he's following him about the pitch all over the place, but that first goal is a perfect example of Callum McGregor. He's so proactive in how he moves to try and get on the ball, and he just runs off the shoulder of Shanklin. You've got to say it's a brilliant ball for Sloop as well, mm-hmm. that sets him on his way, and it's that touch and ball in behind for Daizen Maeda. It was a fantastic goal, but I mean, the numbers that Maeda's put up this year has been remarkable. When you look at the fact that, you know, Kyogo's best return in a Celtic jersey in a season is 34 in the season, and Daizen Maeda's hit 30 already with, what is it, 9 potential games left if you could the cup games to overtake him. So
didn't play up front for all that time.
He never played up front for a lot of time. You question why, because you see him since he's been in that striker berth, it just seems to suit him even more.
The Callum McGregor one, Roger, because everything's intensified and polarised when it's about a Rangers Celtic Rangers game, it becomes like you're not allowed to mention that Celtic missed him because, well, he played the last one and they still lost that anyway. But but you know, both can be true. But it clearly makes such a difference when he knits that bit together.
Andy will tell you, and Frankie's right, that first goal just typified it all. Quickly broke the press. I think it was Sloop played the ball into him. But he takes the ball in the half turn and he's immediately looking with his eyes, looking forward, and then he plays the pass forward. You know, so often the old firm game, Ingles would get the ball, would play it sideways, or it would go back to a centre half. Callum's always looking to drive the game forward, and there was space. It was probably too much space. It was like a high risk, high reward strategy Hearts were playing, and they get caught out at that stage. They'd started so well, but that did for them. And it's a wonderful ball. Callum Meniger knows that Mahida's going to outpace the defender. He gets through. It's a great finish. He's finished with 30 for the season. He got an assist in there as well. He will be player of the year. And may save Brendan Murray a lot of money in a striker. Brendan Rodgers a lot of money in a striker.
I'm a little bit worried because we are entering the period of the season where we usually kick the backside out of the player of the year debate for quite a few nights. Usually kind of early April, mid-April, we'll think, you know, get a good debate going.
It's shake your hand over the trophy just now.
There's not much to be done there, is there?
No, I think the only one that can have a say in it probably is a Nicholas Kuhn or a Sam Dalby, but it would take a serious run of form over the next few games to prize it away for Dyza Mehdi. Right. I just think he's been streets ahead.
Just stop there, because I'm going to still try and have the debate next week. So
Kuhn's got a chance, Dalby's got a chance.
Don't even say a name.
No, no, I was just going to say, if you see the way he started the season, if Pap Guy can finish the season the same way...
Well, listen, one way to endear yourself to your fellow pros is kicking the pantomime villains, the hate figures, throughout the game. So he's ticked that off. Frankie Sinisalo, then, you would be comfortable enough if he had to stay in for a bit of a longer period?
I have no problems with him. I mean, if you remember when Scott Bain came in the first time round with Brendan Bolton, and because he was good with his feet, and he just felt, he's all right. Then obviously he's well down the lines now, but I just think Sinisalo was—you could just see the way he command, you know, he was commanding in his box. The first stop he makes obviously gives him a lot of confidence to go into there. But no, I've got no worries about him. And I was reading him in the paper today, and everyone was saying it's all positive about the work he does with Ridgey, and obviously Schmeichel. We don't know; that probably won't be the full season he'll miss. But it just goes to show that. Celtic had a plan for this boy, and I think he's maybe just jumped in and he might be in for a long time.
He didn't have loads.
Can I just say to you, Andy, yep. Just before I go, it's bath time, Frankie, here, Andy.
Oh, you phoned from the bath before?
I'm getting flashbacks here. I remember just crying with laughter that night.
You were howling. Go on, Frankie.
That's right. I do remember that. That was brilliant. We need to try and get a sound bite of that for the next part.
As long as it's just sound, as long as there's no visuals.
Was that Molly in the bath tonight, Frankie?
No, I'm not in the bath tonight. My 6 feet seven sons took command there.
Six feet seven?
Oh.
I've got two at 6 feet seven.
He's not fitting in the bath.
Can he play centre half?
He was actually
a centre forward. He played with him for a while when he was younger.
There you go.
But again, it was a question you were on the other night. Where does all the talent go? I think the talent's left. This is for another night. all the boys that go and play football and then they get disregarded at 14, 15. And there's nowhere further they go, and they just get disillusioned and they're no interest.
I think that is a fair point, and definitely, as you say, one for another night, but I don't mind it being raised. We've gone from the bath to Frankie's quite large son. We've covered a lot of ground. Let me bring you back to the goalkeeping one, Roger. Did he have enough to do to make much of a...
No.
There was a good save early on.
Listen,
goalies are judged with the ball at their feet, really.
They are. And listen, there are a lot of games like that this season when you've hardly seen Kasper Schmeichel, you know.
Exactly.
They should challenge him for admission because he's watching the game for 89 and a bit minutes. He did fine. He'll be okay in the running. I saw a lot of him when he was playing for United. He is very highly rated. He was on the bench for Finland. And that's not a bad thing, being on the bench for Finland, because Finland's number one place for Bayer Leverkusen. He's only 22 years of age. He will have learned a lot under Kasper Schmeichel this season. He's got a lot of years ahead of him, and I think he'll be fine in the running.
See anything of note?
Couple of smart stops, comfortable in what he had to do. I think the biggest thing was that sort of distribution, which is really important to Brendan Rodgers. I was more focused on Mike Narofsky again and asking the question that where has he been all season, because he's looked really, really composed since he's came into the side, and I thought it was another impressive performance for him.
Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers then on the back of that game that Frankie was on about. As we said, it's still 13 points, three games away from the title if both keep winning as they are at the moment. Of course, Brendan Rodgers speaking about Daizen Maeda. He says the 30-goal striker may well be Celtic's long-term striker.
I think what everyone's saying now is the actual, his finishing quality. You know, the variety in his finishing, he's getting in to score, he's 1v1, he finishes left foot, right foot. So no, I can't say that, sit here and say, yeah, we always knew you had the talent to do it. I think it's one where to replace, you know, to move him onto the side and take him out of the middle, with all due respect, it's probably easy for us to get a top winger than that is a top striker. So, but he can clearly play the position, and I'm so happy that he can.
What improvements has he made, Andy, technique wise? Because I think he was always going to score goals because he plays in a good team. They're a front foot team. He's so lively. He used to almost, you know, he would bundle the ball and he would tackle the ball and he would beat the right. But you can't do that and get those numbers, can you?
No. I think the biggest reason for me for these 30 goals is how incredibly is it attacking the box. So attacking that back area and arriving into space and being in the right place at the right time. I think a lot of the technical deficiencies he had was playing on the left-hand side, being so strong right-footed. And how many times have we seen him, you know, burst down the line onto that left side and clip a ball at the pitch for a cross? So I think a lot of the technical deficiencies was for crossing. I never really seen it as he was a terrible finisher any time he played out wide. So that's why I do think he's a lot more suited to playing inside the pitch. We always spoke about Kyogo being that sort of trigger point for Celtic out of possession, how they press teams. I think Daizen Maeda is equally, if not better at that. And then he's obviously added the goals he's given this season as well by arriving into the right areas.
You wonder, you know, we mocked the head coach of Japan for many a year when he was playing.
Oh, no, he knows his stuff, that guy.
When he was playing Daizen Maeda at centre forward and leaving Kyogo Furuhashi in the bench, we thought, this guy's no idea what he's doing. But maybe he was one up on us at the time. And I go back as well, if you remember Brendan's first pre-season when he came back to Celtic, he was using Maeda through the middle. I think he got a hat-trick against his old team, Yokohama F. Marinos, a pre-season friendly. And then the season started, and I think the penny dropped with Brendan that to get both Kyogo and Daizen into the team, Daizen had to go left. But now he doesn't have to get Kyogo into the team. So the best front three for Celtic, I think we would all be agreed, is Jota, Maeda and Kuhn. And
can he get 10 in his next 9 games? Can he go 40?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think he could, yeah.
Andy?
He could. I don't think he will, but he could.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on that note, let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. The Dream Team are back on a Monday, but they are, you've got to believe they're beatable. Just imagine it. Just get to the end of the season, knock them off their perch. How good would that be? 01419511025. Beat the Pundit up next, and the lines close at 7. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Andy Halliday's here, so is Roger Hannah, and still about an hour for you to get in touch, so use it wisely. 01419511025. What are you thinking? Every single week on this show, at some point, there'll be a serial Dessers debate. How can you not, though, when you see a day like Saturday? We've had some thoughts on Jack Butland and Rangers' character versus performances. So keep your thoughts coming if you so wish. Celtic fans, we've talked Sinisalo, Maeda. We've not quite done Greg Taylor yet. It's the most clear-cut explanation I think we've had from either party that he won't be a Celtic player next season. I'll play those quotes from Brendan Rodgers very soon. So what do you make of that? And anything else from the weekend? Kilmarnock fans, talk to us. Tell us how you're feeling about the game on Saturday, about the rest of the season, about the players, about the manager. What is happening there? Because for so long people keep saying Kelly are too good to be down there and Derek McInnes is too good to be down there. Does that still apply, or are you fearing the worst? Give us a call if you can, and we'll play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see what you've got. You were off last week.
Yep.
So we basically sub another Motherwell player in.
Uh-huh.
If you're off, Stephen O'Donnell came, and he actually was no bad.
We were trying to
put him under a bit of pressure, but he was not bad. And knowing how he is, he probably told everybody in the dressing room about his success the following day, so you've got a reputation to keep up here. Luke is in Dumbarton. How's it going, Luke?
Not bad, how are you?
Not bad. Have you ever played before?
I've not played before, no.
Mm, fancy your chances?
Maybe, depends. Depends on the
question. Well, it does. I don't know why I bother asking. See when people
depends if I know them or not.
See when people just answer it so literally, just shows me up. Stupid question. Roger, how's your form? You played recently?
No.
Not for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
The -2 has killed him, hasn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's got to. I've defended them long enough. It's got to go back. -1. No.
Anyway, heads it will be Andy Halliday. Tails it is Roger Hanna. And it is tails.
Ooh.
Roger Hanna -2. So. Oh, he just looks so happy. He's not. He's not impressed. He's in -2. Look.
Yeah, but he's a genius, but.
I wouldn't go that far.
Just be faster than he is, Luke. That's the key. Right, give something else. Put something else in Roger's headphones here for us. Luke, you've got 30 seconds. Just fly through them. Answer as many as you can, and you are allowed to pass if you fancy, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Good man. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who made his 150th Celtic appearance against Hearts?
Pass.
How many attempts did Cyril Dessers have against Dundee?
10.
St Mirren's Caelan Boyd-Munce is from which country?
Republic Ireland.
What current Dunfermline player has been sent off in an Old Firm game?
Victor Wanyama.
What was the score in the SPFL Trust Trophy final?
4-0 Livingston.
Where would you find the Dick Donald stand?
McDermott Park.
Okay. Roger, are you ready?
Yeah.
Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who made his 150th Celtic appearance against Dundee?
CCV.
How many attempts did Cyril Dessers have against
12.
Dundee? St Mirren's Caelan Boyd-Munce is from which country?
Northern Ireland.
Which current Dunfermline player has been sent off in an Old Firm game?
Victor Wanyama.
What was the score in the SPFL Trust Trophy final?
5-0 Livingston.
Where would you find the Dick Donald stand?
Petardie.
Rangers have what vehicle in their trophy room?
A bicycle.
Who was Celtic's last caretaker manager?
John Kennedy.
What do you think, Luke?
Terrible.
Terrible. That's not what we want to hear. Let's.
That was extra impressive tonight, I thought.
From Roger.
I thought that was really quick as well.
I think he knew. I think he did. He played like a man that knew he needed to get through them fast.
That was very fast.
Yeah, well,
there was a new determination in you.
Agreed.
There.
A vim and vigour.
Yeah, I think you've been like stung by some previous results.
What is his record this year?
Oh, poor.
That's poor because
it's poor. I've lost a few.
He's lost 3.
I see what I mean. You've got to go by a -1.
Let's find out. My fault, obviously, for making a you know what of the first question. It would help if I didn't look at the second question while I was finishing off the first. Who made his 150th Celtic appearance against Hearts? It was Dyson Maida.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so 0-0. None of you got it. How many attempts did Cyril Dessers have against Dundee? I thought when I saw that producer Jay sent me these questions earlier, I thought, a bit of a random question. It's a bit of a lot to ask, but it's out there. It's been reported a lot. So we stuck it in there and Roger knew it was 12-1-0. Caelan Boyd-Munce, you were close. Look, it is Northern Ireland, so 2-0. Roger Hanna, that's him wiped out.
Level.
Yeah. We're on level par here. And look, you got on the board because a fairly easy one, if you like, which current Dunfermline player has been sent off in an Old Firm game? It is now Victor Wanyama. You were there, Roger?
Yes.
You gave him your howler of the weekend?
Yes.
Deserved red card?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and it was unfortunate. The pitch was poor. I said that to you before the game on Saturday. Underfoot conditions not good, and he slipped. And he's, I think it's just in his head. It just stopped quickly. Maybe slammed us away. There's no VAR. I might get away with this, you know. And he didn't.
Any Dunfermline fans out there? Give us a call.
Stephen Mill, give us a call.
We'll hear from Neil Lennon on it. Actually, he was pretty good at the weekend. The score in the SPFL Trust Trophy final. You turned it off too early. Look, it was 5.
That's because I saw the clip. No, I saw the goal, the volley. I thought it was 4-0.
It was 5, I'm afraid. So Roger Hanna now goes 1 in front. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dick Donald stand is at Pittodrie. He's 2 in front. Rangers have got a bike in their trophy room. He's 3 in front. And Celtic's last caretaker manager was John Kennedy. He was flying tonight, look, I'm afraid. You met a man in good form. Hard lines.
That's absolutely cool.
What did you make of your team at the weekend?
Brilliant. It just shows how much we need Cal McGregor on that team.
That first goal sum that up?
Yeah, definitely. He controls the midfield, McGregor.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the narrative, to use Hugh Keevan's word, was about bouncing back from the Rangers game. Brendan Rodgers referenced that a few times, Roger, about particularly the way they handled the press and, you know, and trying to right some of the wrongs. Of course, the problem in this country, not the problem, but you can't, Hearts is different and it won't change much in the eyes of anybody, but you still need to do it, because if you follow that up with like a shaky performance, then...
Because if you listen to Hugh Keevan's 2:05 on Saturday, and he's painting the picture of what the narrative would be were Celtic not to beat Hearts on Saturday afternoon, there would be widespread dismay. But they did the job well, they did it professionally, they were 3 up at half time. You cannot ask for any more. You know, it looks right to be impressed by the performance. You can't ask for any more than that off the back of an Old Firm defeat.
What time did you say?
2:05.
What about 2:05 when he tipped the game to be a draw?
Well,
did you miss that bit?
No, I didn't, but I was still reeling from 3:04 when he was giving Jimmy Tillian his character and saying how Aberdeen were on the slide and what a dreadful team they were, and it was time for people to assess themselves.
I knew something wasn't right.
He had Jimmy Tillian sacked when Callum Slattery scored.
That man,
so it's his fault.
100%. That and the fact that VAR didn't send Gay off to them.
Do you feel that something there just changed?
Yeah.
That would be his fault.
What was the score? Was it 1-1?
1-1.
Yeah.
Crucial.
Turning point.
Could he have walked for a second yellow? Was it a flailing arm on Kofi Balma?
Absolutely.
That's it. I'm on your team. Who was it, Halliday?
Do you know? I actually don't know.
Look, you mentioned the Callum McGregor coming back. What is left to say about Daizen Maeda? Have you always been a big Daizen Maeda fan? Because I know that there was maybe a time when he split opinion a bit. Where have you been on him?
Let's just say Baldy Daizen doesn't lace hair with Daizen shoes.
Listen, I can't argue with that. Since he got the hair, Roger Hanna.
Yeah. I should maybe try it.
Well, I don't think you could pull off the Daizen Maeda hairdo. Look, what would you like to see? I mean, Brendan Rodgers talking about a contract, talking about being Celtic striker going forward. Can you see that? Do you think he can stay there and be a mainstay, or is he going to be cautious of the fact that he's maybe got time for like one biggish move in him?
Well, I think Maeda maybe go. He's more of a chance to get more interested than Kuhn, to be honest. I know Kuhn's been interested by Newcastle, but I think people will be looking at Maeda because that's 30 goals this season, and that can't really be looked down on.
Yeah, Andy, people always said there was clearly a lot going on with Kyogo, who obviously really wanted to go, but some people had a theory of, maybe he wants to go to get in the Japan picture. But Maeda doesn't need that. He's always been in it. At the same time, worth repeating, 27. We'd never know how he feels. He always seems one of the happier players to be here, of the ones that have come from far away, whatever that means. We're all amateur psychologists and body language experts. But do you think could you see him sticking around for a good bit at Celtic?
I think it's very difficult to say. Listen, if you've scored 30 goals with still 9 games left, you're going to have suitors. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are looking at him this summer. It wouldn't surprise me if he was a Celtic player next year, but I'd be amazed if there's not interest towards Daizen Maeda in the summer. But listen, I had a wee chuckle to myself when you said about Kyogo leaving at the time break, he's been to the Japanese squad. I mean, Daizen Maeda's form needs to slow up for Kyogo to get a look in, and Kyogo needs to get in the side that he's currently at. So I don't think that's been a great decision on Kyogo's part.
Listen, it wouldn't surprise me if he stayed. I mean, he does seem happy. There's a great quote for Brendan at the weekend saying, you know, he always tells him he's very happy. And, you know, you watch any time there's a Celtic celebration, Dyson's family are down there, his young kids are down there. The Celtic family have absolutely embraced the Maeda family in their time here. But, you know, if a Manchester United or a Crystal Palace or an Aston Villa come in and offer an awful lot of money to Celtic and an awful lot of money in wages to Dyson, it is enough sometimes to turn the player's head.
Thank you very much to Luke in Dumbarton on 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on the topic of Greg Taylor. I've not seen too much of Greg Taylor recently, and Brendan Rodgers says he is likely to leave when his contract runs out at the end of the season.
I've been in the position so many times, and I can read situations as well. So it's probably more that he'll move on than stay. Which is a big shame for me, because he's someone that I really, really like. I love him as a person.
But I love his game, because I think his game's suited to how we work. It's not financial, it's not anything, but I respect his position, you know, because he'll want to feel that he's playing every single week. Whoever is in next year with Kieran will still play a lot of games, but my feeling is that he may well move on. But I know between now and the end of the season he'll give his all.
Stephen is on the line. How are you, Stephen?
I'm just absolutely disgusted the way I think Celtic are treating Greg Taylor. I really do. The boy's been there, I'm not actually sure how much, 7-8 years or whatever it is. And he's not the best player there, but he's always 100%. The boys just had, him and his wife have just had a kid. The last thing they want to do is move on, whether he's got to go abroad or no. Give the boy whatever he wants. It's going to be his last move or his last contract or whatever. Just give the boy whatever he wants, because Kieran Tierney isn't going to be able to play 30-odd games a season and play for Scotland as well at the same time. That's just stupid to me. I really think it's stupid to say, like...
I suppose, Roger, a lot of this will come down to what we don't know, though, because Brendan Rodgers saying he wants to keep him. Yeah. So I don't think it's that there's not a desire there. What do you make of it all? Because it sounds like he just says, look, there's nothing we can do almost. You know, Greg Taylor wants to leave.
Well, in the 6 years that Greg's been there, he's more or less been first choice all the way along. And I think he realises with Kieran's return, he's not going to be first choice next season. So he maybe just wants to go and investigate somewhere else. 6 years for a player at one club is a long time. He's won 10 trophies. He'll probably end up with more by the end of this season. And it's been a great chapter in Greg Taylor's career. Chris Boyd, I think, in the Scottish Sun website this evening, challenging Rangers to make a move and sign Greg Taylor.
Aye, that'd be good for this phone-in.
This yep. summer. So that would be good for the phone-in, I'll give you that. But I just think, you know, if you look at Greg Taylor, his closest friends in football, the likes of Ryan Christie, Christopher Ayer, Stuart Armstrong, they've all moved on, and not to bigger clubs, but to bigger leagues or different challenges. And I think Greg will do the same. He'll pitch up for Scotland squads, Gordon, and he'll talk to Andy Robertson and John McGinn and people like that who play in a different league. And I think, you know, I know the point you're making, Stephen, about his young family. Gordon Duncan knows it better than most. Despite all of that, I think he's looking for a new adventure in his life. He won't be at Celtic next season, and we wish him well wherever he goes.
What's your reading of that situation, Andy, listening to Brendan Rodgers?
I feel as if Celtic have... seems as if they've done pretty much all they can. Celtic offered Greg Taylor his first contract extension before the news broke that Kieran Tierney was going to come back as a Celtic player next year. So, you know, it wasn't at that point in time that Greg Taylor thought, oh, do you know what, next year I'm going to be second choice. I think he was still first choice left back at that point in time. He would have continued so before, obviously, the news broke that Kieran Tierney was returning. And I think I've got to agree with Roger. I just think it just seems to me as if he's looking for a new adventure, because obviously he wants to be the number one wherever he goes. He wants to play every single week. But I think if he was desperate to stay at Celtic, you know, when the first contract offer was offered, I don't think it would have been, you know, too long to get it thrashed out and get it signed. So to me it just seems as if he's looking for something new.
So what are you saying, Stephen? You think just push the boat out, though? You think Celtic could keep him if they really wanted to?
Yes, you've got to keep him for backup for Kieran Tierney.
No, but what if he doesn't want to be there, though? Definitely.
Sorry?
What if you know, he just wants to move on for a new challenge?
I don't think the boy wants to move on, because, as I said before, they've just had a kid. Why uproot your wife and your baby and whatever to move to whether it's England or whether it's abroad? Why would the boy not want to stay in Scotland?
Well, listen, everybody's different. Andy Halliday, you have a child on the way. If a nice big move in the MLS comes along, does it mean you wouldn't go? Some people might actively want to do that and want to start a different life. For I've no idea how the Taylors feel about, you know, where they raise their child.
You go back to Azerbaijan.
I'm quite happy at the well, to be fair. But listen, Greg, he's only moving to Ibrox. It's not that far.
Can you imagine?
I tell you what, we get some phone calls in here, with me.
Happened before, remember Kenny Miller?
You've heard the story, yeah. I've heard it. Not directly, though, did he?
No.
Yeah, that would be interesting. We'd need a few extra long shows. You wonder what that position does look like, because Brendan Rodgers said whoever comes in with Tierney next season will still play a lot of games.
Yeah.
feel like the Celtic fans have just kind of settled on Jeffrey Schlupp. They like Jeffrey Schlupp. They see him at the weekend and think, well, you know, why not? But no one's really said whether that is or isn't, you know, on the cards.
I'm sure Celtic fans would be happy if Jeffrey Schlupp did make it permanent. He's impressed. I thought he was good again at the weekend. He's a versatile player. I think he'll be enjoying coming and playing in front of big crowds and playing in the big European games and cup semi-finals and finals. But if Jeffrey Schlupp doesn't come, I think Celtic will, you know, they'll go and get another Alec Vaya or another Burnaby or someone like that to understudy Kieran. No one's sure how many games Kieran Tierney is able to play in a season. Each of his last few seasons away from Celtic, unfortunately, they have been truncated by injuries. So hopefully for Kieran Tierney and for Celtic, he gets a run next season. But I think Celtic will have another left back there just to understudy him.
Any more thoughts on that, Celtic fans? Are you agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard? Give us a call right now, 01419511025. I'm starting to think none of the Kilmarnock fans can face it, Roger Hannah. I know it was a tough weekend, but come on, we can go through it. We can find out where it went wrong.
None of the players faced it on Saturday night, Gordon. Very unusual. You don't often see a team win, lose or draw not putting up a player for the media after a game. They were clearly hurting badly after that game.
Maybe under orders, perhaps.
I'm not saying it was the players themselves, but you know, the club did not present a player for interview post match.
Come on, then. How do you feel? 0141.
I think they're feeling it.
01419511025. Good time to call. We'll get you on next. 01419511025.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here. 01419511025. I saw David, Kilmarnock fan. You phoned in. I said, where are the Kilmarnock fans? The line lit up. Now he's disappeared. Come on, David. Let's hear from you. I want to go through some of the big, or St Mirren fans, by the way. Doesn't need to be a crisis hotline. You don't score five very often, so surely you can come on and give us the happier side of things from that game in Paisley.
You were discussing the fact that we didn't really have a debate for Player of the Year, Gordon. You were trying to spark a debate.
Next week I'm going to
be a debate for Manager of the Year.
Oh, yeah, don't worry, that's the week after.
Just when you mentioned St Mirren, if Stephen Robinson takes St Mirren into that top six again, if David Gray takes Hibs to third place in that league, if Brendan Rodgers wins a treble again, good few candidates.
You don't think Rangers will win the Europa League?
I'm not.
Are the voting before that?
Well, if Rangers win the Europa League, then you never know.
You've got a teaser tonight. It's the Crazy Pony's arch nemesis, the Sensible Donkey.
Yeah,
that sent it in.
Are you convinced that's two separate people?
At the start, no, but I do think it is.
Okay. You see the question, I don't know.
But why would the pony want to dilute his own credit by creating a new character?
It's a crazy world out there, Gordon.
Okay. I don't know if Andy will like this. He doesn't like shirt numbers.
Oh, no.
But bear with us. I think you'll flourish at this. Since 1999, can you name the last nine Celtic or Rangers number nines to make more than nine appearances?
Oh, come on.
But score fewer than 29. Listen, it sounds pernickety, but there's a theme you'll be fine with.
Are you looking for nine Celtic and nine Rangers?
No. So
just nine people.
The last nine Celtic or Rangers number nines to play more than nine times, top flight, but score fewer than 29.
That's an odd part of it. Top flight.
Yeah.
Fewer than 29.
I'm going to say John Daly.
No, he wouldn't have been top flight, would he?
No.
Is he not?
I'm going to say Ego Austinstad.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
If you produced that as the first answer.
I just remember he was number nine and not very good.
Do you have him on the back of your strip?
No.
What was the most obscure one you had? Did you ever get somebody who didn't work out or anything? Did you have a... Were you a name on the back of the top type of guy?
No, but do you know what the one that I always remember, even though I'm clearly not a Hibs fan, was the Derek Riordan 01. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. Because he couldn't get the 10. Yeah. Couldn't get 10. Because I don't know why this one stuck in my head just when we're talking about Rangers. I always remember a friend of mine, and he's got a little brother, they always had the new Rangers strip as soon as they came out, and whoever the player of the day was. You know, like when we were growing up, I can just always remember Alberts, Newman, whatever it would have been. But one of them got Federico Nieto on the back of his Rangers strip.
Is he 18?
I've no idea, but what did they play, like three times?
Yeah, not maybe? A lot, yeah.
So nothing worse than getting the wrong I've said before, when I was younger, I got Brian Kerr, who's now at St Mirren, on the back of my mother's trip. I think he did his cruciate in pre-season and something never featured. So there you go. So no, you were never an Austin Stad on the back?
No, I wasn't, no.
Ferguson, weren't you?
Moles, a couple of Moleses.
Is that him that could have been better than Henrik Larsson if he didn't get his injury?
Yeah, I don't know if I can go along with that myself, but
that's mischievous, Gordon.
Didn't have player names in the back of their strips in your day anyway.
They hardly had strips. Only changed them every 5 years. Right, long sleeve and woolly. Is Ademida one?
He is, because he's not got 29 goals as of yet.
What about, this will be close, but Jermaine Defoe?
Nah, no. He is not there. Do you want one more guess, or do you want to move on?
Čolak.
Yes, Antonio Čolak. Right, we'll leave it there. Let's leave it there. Another Stephen's on the line. How are you, Stephen?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, all good in here. What made you call tonight?
So, just one of the last callers made his point about he thought Greg Taylor wasn't being treated very well by Celtic. Personally, my opinion is, if a guy wants to go, let him go. He's had his opportunity with the extension pit in front of him and stuff, but talking about backups as well, was something you guys mentioned towards the kind of end of the call, but bringing in Jeffrey Sloot potentially and stuff like that. What about the boy Matthew Anderson that spent the full season over in Austria in the Bundesliga 2 with Admira Wacker, who, if I read correctly at the weekend, are no far off getting promoted, and the boy by all accounts has hardly missed a game and had a great season playing for them. What about bringing him back and having him as backup to Tierney?
I became aware of Matthew Anderson, Roger, when I looked at one of the Scotland under-21 squads come out, and it's always got their club next to them, and I don't mind admitting I had to Google said team to see who they were, because I wasn't aware of them, but that was a while ago.
He's over there with young Ben Summers this season. I think they've both done okay in that second tier in Austria. Made the misfortune, Matthew, of playing in that Scotland 21's team last week. They lost 6 goals to Iceland over in Spain, which was a poor result. He was involved before he went to Austria. He was involved in the kind of periphery of the first team pre-season, if you remember. But you know it's difficult for these boys, Stephen, to get in. I mean, ahead, age-wise, of Matthew, you know, you look at the likes of Adam Montgomery, who's been in, he's been out, he's been away on loan, he's been back, he's been injured, he's been away on loan, he's currently at Queen's Park. Mitchell Frame, if you remember, came on, played against, I think it was Feyenoord as a substitute in the Champions League, not this season, but last, and then sort of disappeared back to Steve McManus's B team. It's very, very difficult for these young lads to make that breakthrough. You know, I know Jude Bonner and I think Francis Turley were on the bench for the Old Firm game a couple of weeks ago, but it's hard, and it'll be interesting to see what level Matthew goes to next. I suspect, rather than being involved around the first team, I wonder if we'll maybe get a loan deal next season to a higher standard than Admira Wacker. Whether that means, you know, could he go to a Kilmarnock? Could he go to a Dundee and play there and try and make him more match ready for coming back to Celtic?
This is not a Celtic exclusive problem, Andy, and I'm not even talking about Matthew Anderson. So just a very general, because if yes, they need to be good enough and so on. But how refreshing would it be at a club that size, or Rangers or whatever, if talking about the backup left back here, is there somebody in your academy that can go and be the backup left back? Because everybody knows that the number one's Kieran Tierney. We somehow, whatever it is, and again, maybe for another show, but we've got to get to a level where that's possible, surely.
Yeah, listen, you're preaching to the choir. I've said it for so often, and no, Stephen won't thank me for it, but I take it to the Rangers side of things, where I say I'm delighted that Rangers have signed a Lyle Cameron and a Conor Barron, but I continually ask myself, how is there not a Lyle Cameron in the Rangers academy? How is there not a Conor Barron in the Rangers academy? And I think, again, when you look at the Celtic perspective, you look at, I take Johnny Kenny, for example, with the we're going on loan at the start of the season to Shamrock Rovers, doing extremely well, coming back in January and making what, 2 sub appearances from now to then, when Celtic are so far clear in the league. I'm not saying they've got meaningless fixtures, far from it, but again, you'd like to see him just given that wee bit more of an opportunity in the last 15-25 minutes of games or what it may be. And listen, what I will say for the young boy Matt Anderson is, you know, he's doing what he should be doing. He's going out on loan, he's proving himself, he's getting the game time and he's getting rave reviews. So for me, what's the reward to that? Is it another loan move challenging yourself even further? Or can you be a backup left back, as you says, and play that 10-15 games a season?
So, Stephen, you would rather that than Jeffrey Schlupp?
110%. I would rather see a boy come through, or a couple of young boys come through, in play as or be backups. And I mean, the opportunity is there as well. When it's not a matter of if, it's when the league is wrapped up this year, you're going to potentially have what, four games to go. How are we going to play these boys in their four games, or weave them into the team and let's see what they can do in the four games that are left?
The problem with that can be, Roger, that they sometimes just, those are completely token appearances, aren't they? And they never amount to anything. It would be nice if it did, you know. And again, that don't get me wrong, it's not, you're not taking any responsibility. The players then need to show that they're good enough and get to a level. But I feel like we have at times seen that towards the end of a season, and then you never really.
I remember the year Rangers beat Hearts in the Cup final under Van Bronckhorst. Was it 3 years ago?
Yeah, the game before.
The game before at Tynecastle, played all the kids, and really none of them have come through to the Rangers first team. I wondered, I remember Fraser Wishart saying it in a Saturday show right at the end of the transfer window before the Jeffrey Schlupp deal went through, why don't Celtic just have an Adam Montgomery or a Mitchell Frame and give them the chance to understudy Greg Taylor for the rest of the season? What harm does it do? Celtic are going to win the league anyway. They're very probably going to win the treble anyway. It might just make a difference in the careers of Adam Montgomery or Mitchell Frame.
I suppose, but the counter is you are going in to play Bayern Munich in the Champions League and so on.
Absolutely, and that was the route Brendan Rodgers went down. He went and got Jeffrey Schlupp, and it's difficult to make an argument that it was the wrong decision when you see the way Schlupp's playing in a minute.
It's a good point, Stephen. We'll have a wee look and see what happens over the summer. Let Stephen and Toe Cross wants to see Matthew Anderson used at left back for Celtic next season if Greg Taylor leaves, as we've just heard Brendan Rodgers on talking about embarrassing names that you got in the back of your strip. Mikey Burns has sent me a Halliday 16 that he got at Rangers. I barely remember that strip. So white on top, kind of light blue on the bottom, 32 red Puma.
Yeah, didn't wear it a lot, to be fair.
I can barely remember seeing that one. Anyway, so you've signed it as well. Jeez, what a way to ruin the valuation. Right, did we get any more on that teaser quickly? Since 99, the last nine Celtic or Rangers number nines have played more than nine in the top flight and scored fewer than 29. It sounds confusing, but once you start working your way through it, you've got Ida, Colak, Austin Stad.
Franny Jeffers.
No.
A Motherwell great. Dion Dublin.
Yes.
Oh, that just gave me an odd,
yes.
I'll spell them.
Let's hear from Derek McInnes. I did ask for you, Kilmarnock fans, but if you're not biting yet, that's fine. We'll get to you some point during the week. He's apologised to you. Is it apology accepted for the performance? He says they deserve much better. Kilmarnock boss is still convinced they have enough quality to avoid the drop.
That was tough. Tough watch for us. I didn't expect that at all from us today. I don't think there's a lot between us and St Mirren. That never really has been in the last couple of seasons, and St Mirren were hands down smarter than us, more streetwise than us, and more clinical than us today, and they deserve thoroughly the 3 points. And you can see why they've got a chance at top six, whereas you can also see why we've got work to do to make sure we stay away from trouble at the bottom. It was such a disappointing afternoon. I can only apologise to the supporters. They deserve better than that, and they've been served up a lot better than that over the last couple of years. I mean, you own that, myself and the players. I mean, they're all my players. And I expect better for us, and so should they. I think we will. I think we're better than some teams in the league. Obviously, we're going to be bottom six teams. The only team now that we probably won't play teams in and around us will be Celtic. But, you know, I feel that we've got bigger performances and better performances in us. We've shown that at times this season. We've just not shown enough to be a top six team. But we'll have every opportunity to answer up over the next few weeks.
You are not allowed to comment on Kilmarnock because you play them next. And they are 6 points behind you. Andy Halliday, I think it is. Is it six? It is. But in a more general sense then, and I know you wouldn't tip them to go down or anything like that, but you've been surprised at where they find themselves based on the manager they've got, what they did last season and so on?
Yeah. More so for the defensive aspect, because I always, you know, when I always think of a Derek McInnes side, I always think well organised, compact, hard to beat. But I think they've shown some defensive frailties recently that it's not been you've not been used to seeing for a Derek McInnes side. So I think, listen, Stuart Finlay being back in the bench, I think, is a huge bonus for them. I do think they miss Kyle Vassell, and his presence up front. I think it's a huge miss to them. And I think they've been really unfortunate with injuries in a certain area of the pitch. I think that midfield area, again, Brad Lyons coming off at half time at the weekend, I'm not sure if that's been stated, well, whether that was injury.
He was at right back, wasn't he? No, I think it was a tactical change, because if he played right back, they brought David Watson into the midfield and changed things up.
Yeah, but again, just to the wider point, really, that middle of the pitch, they've not really had a settled midfield throughout the full season. It seems as if that's been, you know, Corey and Dab has played in there at times, as if with a lot of injuries in that area.
I think that's a big thing. And also, you're right about Vassell, and the form of Danny Armstrong has been a huge difference. He was an enormous creative force. You'll have played against him many times, Andy.
Yeah, and again, we were. I mean, how many times have we tipped Danny Armstrong for that next move last year? And people were saying, "Oh, you know, could the Rangers take a chance on him?" And like Hearts and these so-called, with all due respect to Kilmarnock, bigger size within the league. But I'm right in saying that he's not signed a contract yet. As he's run down his contract towards the end of the season, and you know, I think the suitors that you would I got for a Danny Armstrong at the end of last season, you know, might not quite be there this year because he's not managed to live up to the standard of last season.
However, it's not all doom and gloom, because if you're a St Mirren fan at the game, you witnessed one of the best of the season. Tom is on the line. How's it going, Tom?
Good evening, Gordon, Andy and Roger.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
You must be delighted, Tom.
Very, very happy man, actually, Gordon. Very happy man. Okay. A very happy man at the moment.
Are you going to make top six?
Well, that's what I'd like to ask you, the panel. I think we're in a good shout. On defence, have we gone on Saturday up at Dundee in the Ross County game, and just hope the results can go for us instead of against us this time?
Yeah, I said that, Roger, that there was no movement. The top five all won, the bottom five all lost. The only winners in the league table in terms of movement were St Mirren at the weekend. Obviously, listen, you can... I know teams would have moved away from others, but in terms of, you know, making up ground or moving a place, they now are 1 point behind Hearts in sixth, and then they're level with Andy's Motherwell.
Yeah, and listen, I said at the top of the show, it was a great return to domestic football. Next two weekends are going to be fantastic before this split. It is still in Hearts' hands. I think if you'd said to Neil Critchley when he was finishing the 3-0 defeat at Parkhead, you'll still be sixth and it's in your hands, he would have definitely taken it. They're at home to the D United and away to your Motherwell team, Andy. So if they win both games, they're sixth. That's it. But I tend to think St Mirren's fixtures are slightly easier. They're at Dundee, they're at home to Ross County, they're in a good bit of form just now. So Tom, I think there's every chance. I'm going to see Dundee and St Mirren on Saturday. I think it'll be a right good game.
Tom, what would it mean? How big an achievement would it be to do that for the third season in a row?
I think we're a great achievement for the club, and we're just respecting what Roger's saying. I think St Mirren have been very good this year. We've had a few hiccups, but the most important thing is we've got to work sometimes. We've been great the last couple of weeks.
How do you feel about it, Andy? You're right in amongst it. You're levelling points with St Mirren.
It's extremely tight. The kind of three teams you just mentioned there vying for that last spot in the top six, it seems like. We've had some extremely tight games against St Mirren this year. I think it's three or four times we've played them, they've all been extremely tight affairs. It's funny, Gordon, because I actually remember, I don't know if you will as well, the last game before the split last year, we played Hibs. If Hibs won, they were top six. If we won, we were top six. We shot each other in the foot and drew, and I'm sure it was St Mirren that were the benefactors that got that sixth spot. Well, we've got Hearts in the last game before the split this year. So again, is history going to repeat itself with that, with St Mirren obviously coming out on top? But it's extremely tight.
Thank you, Tom. 01419511025. Any Kelly fans want to give us the other side of that, give us a shout. We'll get the rest of the answers to the teaser next as well.
1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are back on unplanned, but Andy Halliday's here, Roger Hanna still here, and there is still time to squeeze your calls in. So come on, 0141 951 1025. Give us a call, Kilmarnock fans. I won't give up that hunt. And anyone else, maybe you want to speak to Andy Halliday, maybe any Aberdeen fans out there, what do you think? Andy Halliday's adamant Papa Gay should have been sent off for scything him down. You're going to come on and defend your man? Do let us know. 01419511025. On the teaser then, we're looking for, now bear with us because I know it sounds really confusing, but once you just, you can almost, I think you can half ignore some of the detail. Since 99, can you name the last 9 Celtic or Rangers number 9s who've played more than 9 top flight appearances, but they've scored fewer than 29 goals for either club? Adam Ida, Antonio Colak, Dion Dublin, and what a shout from Andy Halliday, Eagle Austinstad.
Ahmed Diallo.
Yes, you might forget he wore number 9, but you obviously didn't.
Number 9 thing's difficult. What about friend of the show, Daniel Cousin?
No.
Carlton Cole?
Nope.
Morten Rasmussen?
Nope.
James Beattie?
Nope. Right, you're struggling here.
Oh. Just in terms of goals then, Daryl Pershaw must have got more, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I don't think there's... I think that it's all Celtic now.
There is... What I would say to you, there's one more in that Diallo mould, but he's not really a striker. He's not a number 9 in that regard. But the other three are...
All Celtic.
Definitely all Celtic.
All Celtic number 9.
Bullied me into an extra clue there. Let's bring in Callum, who's an Aberdeen fan. Oh. Is Andy Halliday play acting, Callum?
No, I don't think he's play acting. But I just thought that, you know, it's a slightly reckless challenge. But he's got to remember that Liam Gordon initiated this. He pushes Papi Gueye for a start, which then provokes Papi Gueye into your action.
That wouldn't really change the whether it was a red or not, would it? And I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I'm not going all Motherwell bias here, but like what happens before it doesn't... Do you know what I mean? That doesn't really come into the decision-making, does it?
Does it not?
No. Because you would just treat the challenge and it's, you know, on its own merits.
I've seen. I mean, look, you go through some players. I could be Scott Brown. I probably did it week in, week out, and barely looked at some challenges for me. It's reckless, but I think the referee's gave a right decision. I think he's given a yellow card.
I obviously would say I agree with Andy. I wonder, let's try and understand. You think it's a red, it was a challenge on you. I'm not going to try and change your mind, but I wonder if the thing that's helped Papi Gueye is he's not come lunging from, you know, far. He's not at the space that, you know, that way where people run in, there's that real pace, that real intensity. The studs don't catch you, but is it that scissor motion that you think, because there is that, there's the scissor motion, isn't there? Is that what makes you think it's a red?
Yeah, I think it's reckless. I think if my leg's planted, I think it's a completely different story. And it shouldn't need to be if my leg's planted or not, whether it's a red card or not. I think it's a reckless challenge. I think it's that scissor
reckless
motion.
Is yellow, to be technical about the...
Okay, well, excessively reckless, shall I say. Scissor movement below the
dangerous
knee. Well, Callum's point could be fair that he felt that Papi Gueye was fouled in the lead up to it. But if that was a foul, then the foul on Callum Slattery for the fourth goal is the exact same. So I think the ref was consistent there to our fouls.
If Andy Halliday made that tackle on Papi Gueye, he'd have been sent off.
What makes you say that?
Because referees, don't take this the wrong way, Andrew, know the way that Andy plays. They'll give a big kind of gangly striker who's never been in problem with the law before.
You think
lunges
so?
At, yeah. Yep.
Wow, that's controversial.
That. It's bad decision making by the officials. The referee, you give him the benefit of doubt, maybe doesn't get a look at it. Mm-hmm. You made a point earlier on about VAR. VAR should have instructed the referee to go to the screen and have another look, because for me, it's a red card challenge. The scissors motion, you said it didn't happen with the studs. That's incidental. The scissors motion was enough.
I actually think what's quite telling, because the thing that Callum uses as the defence, I actually think it works the other way. I think it's worse when you know when a player is frustrated and then they go and try and do someone.
100%.
That, if anything, makes it work. You know, you 100%. See it all the time. Sometimes, what are the telltale signs when someone goes and chases their own bad touch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or like that, he is frustrated from whatever's happened to Liam Gordon, and fine, it might be a foul if Callum thinks it is, but I actually think that makes it maybe a bit worse. Aside from that though, Callum, and where I think Andy will agree, your team were good, weren't they?
Well, I mean, I have to suggest, Andy, but if teams like Motherwell are going to come up to Pretoria and use their kind of useless tactics, as I'm going to put it. I'm sorry, but you got what you deserved.
Oh, you need to come back on, Callum. I'm enjoying this.
This turned very quickly.
Because this is good.
I'll tell you something. You come up to Pretoria, there was only one team that wanted to play football. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm sorry, Gordon. I'm sorry, Andy, but that certainly wasn't Motherwell. If that's what you call football, then I'll tell you something, keep it, because I'll tell you something, guy. I'll tell you something.
Callum, did you miss the bit where I said your team were very good? We were trying to compliment things.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to tell you, it's just that everybody just thinks that if you want to take the
the stupid approach. They fall over every given opportunity. They didn't tell them for a single second that not one Motherwell player didn't roll a book. They were rolling the book, claiming for this, that, and next thing. And for me, the referee was absolutely shocking, Roger. Absolutely shocking. He had a diabolical game.
It's just that.
Callum, if you get this wound up after a 4-1 home win, you need to phone this show back the next time you lose.
That was Callum's opportunity to tell us how good Aberdeen were. I don't know what just happened. Maybe we just disagreed with him one too many times. But I thought it was like polite disagreement. I thought we were all sort of getting on fine there. You and your falling about.
Yeah, I thought Aberdeen were good. Much better than they were when they came to Fir Park and we blew them away 2-0. But listen, they were good at the weekend. But listen, Callum's right. The referee didn't have a great game. If he'd done his job, Aberdeen would have been down to 10 at one each. It could have potentially been a different game. But no, listen, Aberdeen done well. They got the result and they're into the top six.
I think some of the January signings have done well. I think you mentioned yourself, Jensen, the right back, looks a good player. Nisbet is finally coming good. And I think Tellin's decision to abandon that kind of double pivot of two number sixes, Nielsen and Shinney, and go for players like Clarkson and Palaversa, who are a bit more forward thinking, I think that's helped the front four as well.
Kevin Nisbet in the Scotland squad but didn't play. Mm-hmm. Is he starting to look a bit more like the old Kevin Nisbet?
Yeah, he's been on great form since the turn of the year. Again, I think sometimes players get, they need the rubber again elsewhere. I think Soccer's injury kind of helped Nisbet because it gave him that run in the team. Even when he's played that kind of deeper role, whether it's been Daba or Soccer or somebody else that further one in front of him, when he's played in that 10 role, he's done really well. But the big thing was goals. You know, he had to add the goals to his game that we were so used to him seeing in a Hibs jersey, and he's managed to do that over the last couple of months.
Thank you to Callum on the line. It was memorable. You can still get in touch tomorrow. We're out of time, as you can hear. Get that number stored. Give us a shout from 6 o'clock quickly in the teaser. Since 1999, who are the last 9 Celtic or Rangers number 9s who've played more than 9 top flight times but scored fewer than 29? Ida, Cholak, Diallo, Dublin, Austinstad.
I got your clue. Haksabanovic.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Never saw a jetty?
No. Sounds a wee bit like that.
John Guidetti.
Guidetti, yep.
What about
Cookie?
Nope.
What about Celtic's Kenny Miller?
Yes. He scored some big goals, but wasn't there long enough to get 29.
No.
One more.
I feel as if there's a...
What's the clue in the question? You always say it.
99,
mm-hmm.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Can't possibly be Mark Viduka.
No, but he wouldn't swap one of the ones he scored for another...
Bratback.
Yes, Harold Bratback. Okay, thank you Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna. And thank you for calling, for tweeting, for listening. We are back tomorrow from 6 o'clock, so make sure you join us then. And in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Monday.